cold as a razor blade, as tight as a tourniquet, like the skin on a dying man. I don't want a piece of the world. I want the whole world. I make my own room because it's much easier that way. Trust me.
What's up, everybody? It's Marcus D'Angelo, and we are back with another episode of The Snake Pit. And you know who I'm here with. It's the Hall of Famer, pop culture icon, master of the DDT, Jake the Snake Roberts. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing wonderful, man. I can't wait to get on this today. It's my favorite thing to do.
Brother, I love these
answering
two.
These questions.
They're an absolute blast. We put it out there on social media again for our 10th edition of Ask Jake Anything, and your fans delivered, brother. It's a staple here on the show. And we're putting them in the driver's seat. So if you're ready to dig in, we can get moving.
Roll on, my brother.
He's drinking his coffee, folks. We are going to have a good one today. He's going to be up. Diamond J is first. If you were the head booker of AEW, what would be some of the storylines and feuds, and who are the main guys you would depend on for a good product?
Oh, my God.
A lot of talent.
That's a hell of a question there.
Yes.
Well, Omega, Brian, but as far as storylines as things go, I don't know, this Lance Archer would be involved.
Oh, for sure.
You know, he would definitely be pushed. Yeah, that's just a huge question to answer, and it would be one that takes time. Yeah, storylines. Yeah, I can give you storylines, but let's sit down and look at this.
You know, ever since you put it out there on our podcast before that you would like to, you know, get the pencil or at least book like 15 minutes of the show per week, you know, the fans have been talking about it online where they're like, yeah, I want to see what Jake comes up with. So, man, it's I think you've certainly got a lot to offer, especially if you get an opportunity to sit down, think about it, maybe have a cigarette or two while you're pondering,
man.
It.
Smoke a joint.
Smoke a joint, or how about our new sponsor, Fume? You try them?
Yeah, man, I'm doing it, man. I'm telling you, it's helping me. I got it right here.
Yep.
I love this little gimmick.
Dude, it is fantastic. I got it too. They've got some awesome flavors, a big variety. I couldn't be happier with the product, man.
Oh, man, that's sweet.
We'll hammer on to the next one. Crazy Doxy Lady asks, as a manager, what would you do to help Griff Garrison overcome his association with the now defunct Blondes and the comparisons to Jungle Boy?
They need to take a long, hard look at him because he's got the look. He's a great guy to be around.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't see him being hard to deal with. It's just something that's going to take time. You know, you got to focus on these people. You can't put them out there 1 week and say, okay, show us what you got and expect a whole lot of anything.
Right.
It just doesn't work that way. You got to put him in situations where he has to get over. That takes time. Mm-hmm. It also takes talent. You got to feed him somebody. I mean, you can't work your way up the ladder without beating a few people.
That's it too. And yeah, I mean, I certainly see the potential in the kid. Tall, great look, very athletic. I think maybe he just needs a good storyline, probably a good storyline away from, you know, breaking through.
Right. Exactly. In a singles match, he'd be fun to work with.
I hope to see more out of him here in the near future. Steve Cohen is up next. What was your experience with Big John Studd? I've heard in several interviews that he was not liked by Andre the Giant.
We called him Big John Dud.
any reason? Is he dull?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He was thick, you know. I love the guy. Don't get me wrong. I love the guy. I had no problems with him. You know, he made a big mistake whenever he said what he did about Andre being a freak. He did an interview where he said Andre wasn't a giant. He was a freak.
Oh, boy.
And Andre took offense to that, and that was it. The shit hit the fan. And every time Andre got around him, he just beat the fucking shit out of him. It was horrible, man. Hell, when we did that damn match in Atlantic City, you know, and he was the referee. Mm-hmm. God damn, I was hoping I didn't get hurt because Andre hit him so hard his body exploded. One of his body parts hit me or something. You know, Jake Roberts killed by a kidney. You know,
what a headline.
They come flying off of John Studd. Yeah, it's not good to be on Andre's good side. I mean, Iron Sheik experienced that. Randy Savage experienced that. Randy was scared to death of Andre, and rightly so. Jesus Christ, man. I had an experience with Andre that wasn't good. We had just done the thing where he was scared of the snake in our first match. Was in L.A. And we got in the ring, and he absolutely guzzled me.
Oh, boy.
He hammered me. He guzzled me. Didn't give me a fucking thing, man. 15 minutes of me getting my ass kicked. Well, it was so bad that when I got to the back, the agents were standing there going, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Looking at me, and I'm fucking mad as shit, going, fuck this shit. I'm not playing this fucking shit. I'm not doing it. So I said, where the fuck is he? And they said, he's in his dressing room. You're not going in there, are you? You're fucking right I am. So I fucking went in there, and I was so angry. I said, Andre, what have I done to you? My God, I'm hoping that we can actually draw some money with this thing that we're doing. And you set it up perfectly, and then we go out and you do that. You just ate me from head to toe, chewed me up, spit me out. The fucking people are feeling sorry for me just for being in the ring with you. I said, we can't do that. I'm not going to do that. If that's the way it's going to be, fuck it. I'm not doing it. And he looked at me and just said, okay, boss, we're good.
Wow.
It was a test. He was testing me to see if I'd fucking stand up for myself.
I mean, that's got to be intimidating.
Brother, you have no idea, man. I'd go to throw a punch and he'd catch my punch in his fist like a baseball mitt. You know? And fuck, it hurt too, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, you were pretty well established by this point in your career, but just for full context, like, Andre is already a legend at this point.
Oh, yeah.
So like, coming to him, bursting into his dressing room, kind of being confrontational with him.
Yeah, man.
Real balls, man.
Well, I figured I could outrun him.
You definitely had that advantage.
Yeah. And I'd already made up my mind that if we were going to continue like that, I wasn't fucking doing it. I'll just get out of the fucking ring and walk away. Because we're not giving them a show. We're giving them shit.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my whole thing. And, hey, those people weren't fucking entertained. They're disgusted.
Yeah. Now, so, do you think that if John Studd had confronted Andre about his behavior, it would have changed anything?
Sure. I think if you'd have went to him man to man, you know, and said, you know, been straight up. Hey, I said something really fucking stupid, Andre, and I'm really sorry. But he didn't.
It makes you wonder about all the people that he had issues with. Like, maybe he just wanted people to prove, like, hey, look, you know, I'm going to treat you like I'd treat anybody else.
You had to earn his respect. If you earned his respect, you were okay.
Weapon X is up next. Did you ever work with Chris Benoit, and what did you think about his ring work?
Chris Benoit was one of the best there was, without a doubt. That story is so sad for so many different reasons.
Yes.
You know, and it's very ugly. I don't know what happened. Nobody knows what happened. But the Chris Benoit I knew, the one that I had talks with and was around, was a sweet, good, great wrestler. good man. I did, when that shit went down, I was in such a shock.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. I was trying to think of some way, what happened? Who else was there?
Right.
You know?
And the speculation, because of that impression of Chris Benoit that everybody had, the speculation was like, well, it had to be murder. There's like no other, somebody broke into the house and killed him.
And murder. Yeah, exactly. That's what I thought for sure. And then to come out like it did, we don't really know, do we?
Right.
You know, so.
Everybody thinks that they've got a pretty good idea how it went down, and it's awful no matter how you slice it. But
oh, my God.
But geez, it's I would assume because of your relationship with Kevin Sullivan that you knew Nancy pretty well too, right?
Yeah, man, I knew Nancy very well. You know, it was a horrible thing that went down, man.
Gosh, just such a tragedy. And, you know, a lot of people have a hard time watching Chris Benoit's matches to this day because of what happened. I know that me personally, I can kind of separate it and say like, man, he's a hell of a worker and watch those matches and enjoy them. I will say though, when he gives that flying headbutt with what we know about CTE and the condition of his brain, it's like, oh man, that's hard to watch. Yeah.
That's what did it, bro. His brain was fucking scrambled.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, we see those movies about CTE or documentaries about it and just how traumatic it can be. And it's, man, that shit is frightening, especially for guys like, you know, like you and all the other veterans who, you know, had countless concussions.
Damn right, man. I mean, I went and did the test and stuff, you know, and we figured out that I had at least 3 concussions a year.
Wow.
Well, that's bad. That's real bad, considering that I wrestled for 30 years.
Yes.
That's 90 concussions.
My God.
So what's my brain look like? You know, well, and I've often wondered, you know, now that I'm getting to that age where things are starting to get kind of funky and weird, you know, like I push a button, but nothing came on, you know. I was struggling there for a while talking because I had not talked a lot, and doing this program has helped me get to where I'm talking. And, but I'm scared to death of what's going to wind up, you know. I mean, I look, you know, in the next 5 or 10 years, what's my brain going to do, you know?
Well, let me see
if I'm here.
Let me say you are sharp as a tack here, and I'm glad that we're doing this podcast, not just because it's fun, but also because it's, you know, not only
it does help me.
Right. It helps you. It establishes or it helps to reinforce your legacy. So there's a lot of good that comes out of doing this podcast, certainly.
Oh, yeah.
But let me say guys were certainly getting worse and worse, you know, even in the years prior to you. And a lot of them lived nice, long lives and stayed sharp as a tack. So I get the feeling, Jake, with how sharp you are, that you're going to be fine.
I hope so, man. I mean, I dread thinking about the possibilities, you know. I mean,
Well,
there's some ugly ones out there, man.
There are. And
it is, you know.
I've been around a lot of the guys, and certainly some of them, I won't name any names, but certainly some of them show signs of that.
Oh, yeah.
And you are not one of them, so I'm glad for
we'll
that.
We'll see.
Well, you're doing great.
We shall see.
You're doing great so far. Alan Scuzzy Bacula said, "What was the first car you got once you were getting paid well and could choose what you wanted?" So, Jake, did you make a big expenditure and get a fancy car?
Oh, yeah. I went and bought a Pontiac Diesel.
Hell yeah.
What a fucking mistake that was.
Oh, no. Why?
What a piece of shit. I'd drive it for a week and it'd be in the shop for a week. Oh my God.
Oh,
it
no.
was horrible. I could never get the damn thing fixed. I'm going to tell you what I did. And I'm pretty ashamed that I did it now. But at the time, I was just trying to get rid of the damn car. I thought, man, I got to get rid of this fucking thing because, I mean, it was killing me. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was in the shop for a week. I couldn't depend on it for anything. You know, and the last thing you want to do is put three guys in a car and take off and, you know. So there had been some break-ins to cars and a lot of damage done to cars in my apartment complex. Mm-hmm. So I thought what I would do was I would pour 5 pounds of sugar in the fuel tank.
That'll do it.
And let it lock up and then blame
vandalism. You know,
vandalism. That way I can get rid of the car. So I did it and I drove it and it broke down just the way it's supposed to. The insurance people and the car people took the car. They analyzed it and said, well, there was nothing in the fuel tank. We did that first. I'm like, fuck you. I put 5 pounds of fucking sugar in there, motherfucker. Don't tell me there's nothing in the fuel tank. That's bullshit. Yeah, man, they told me no. We checked the fuel tank and there was absolutely no foreign substance in the fuel.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, you lying motherfuckers. Can you believe that shit?
There is no way that they wouldn't have detected it either. So
right. I got stuck with it, man. I got stuck with it. I had to pay for that fucking thing to be fucking fixed. Oh my God. A new engine. Oh my God. Oh, fuck, man. I finally just said, fuck it. You can have the fucking car. I don't give a shit. I'm not paying for the motherfucker no more. And I said right then, I said, you know, you can't fuck with the insurance people, brother. They will fuck you to death.
Damn. So what'd you do? Just try to sell it, scrap it?
Yeah, I just told Pontiac to keep it.
Yeah, fuck it.
I wasn't going to pay for an engine.
Just get it the hell out of your hair.
Like $6,000 to replace the engine.
Nope.
I'm like, I'm not going to fucking do it. The car's fucking brand new.
Oh my God. Some asshole put sugar in there.
Yeah.
Good Lord. Robert Vaughn is up next. What was Earthquake like behind the scenes? He played such a convincing heel. Curious to know what he was like as a person. Did you get along with him?
He was absolutely fabulous to get along with. A gentle giant for sure. And boy, ain't we glad, because he could kick some serious ass if he wanted to.
Yes.
You know, I was amazed and shocked when I found out how long he had been in the business.
How long?
He had just gotten in.
Really?
Yeah, he was a rookie. And then I go out and do this angle with him. That's the first angle he'd ever done. And I thought he'd been working for 10, 15 years. To find out that he was a fucking rookie shocked me. Shocked me to no end.
Man, and what a legit badass, too. He was like an actual sumo wrestler.
Yeah.
Just a big dude.
Yeah, I remember one night in Edmonton, Alberta. Mm-hmm. We had spent about 10 hours trying to get there. 2 or 3 different flights for everybody. And everybody was just fucking beyond fucking burnt, stretched out, whatever. And a few of the guys had started drinking.
Oh boy.
Early. And one of them was Haku. And Haku challenges Earthquake to fucking sumo match. In the locker room. Holy fuck, man. They were slapping the dog shit. And I went to a draw.
My God.
They were fucking beating the shit out of each other, man. I couldn't fucking believe it.
I mean, in a shoot, like if those two decide this was serious business now at throwing down, who are you putting your money on?
Haku.
Gotta be, right?
Yeah, he's beyond badass, man. He can hurt you so many different ways.
I heard a story recently about him getting into a dust up in a bar, and it took something like 7 police officers to
detain him. Oh yeah. I was there when he bit the guy's nose off.
I mean, when you see a coworker bite another human being's nose off, what is the reaction from you?
It took just that long for him to bite the guy's nose off, and he spit it in the floor and said, "I move your face." He told the guy twice, "Move your face." Because the guy was, he got nose to nose with him and was talking shit, you know. "You fucking wrestler, suck dick, motherfucker. Y'all don't belong in this fucking bar. It's not your fucking bar. Get the fuck out. Move your face. I told you, cocksuckers, we don't want you in here. The women don't want you in here. The guys don't want you in here. So get the, move your face. Get the fuck, And, he moves his hand and all he sees two holes.
Oh, God.
Or his sinus cavity, you know. He's bit his whole fucking nose off.
Jesus. I mean, for your end, you just witness something hideous, like out of a horror movie while you're at the bar. Is it like, "Well, I'm going home," or you're like, "Hey,
yeah, I think I'm going to get one more beer and leave, if you don't mind. Can I have a beer, please?" I asked for a beer. They threw a six pack at me, man.
Just whatever. Get all these people out of the damn bar.
Oh, fuck, man.
Dude.
That was bad news. One time we were in Montreal. We were walking down the street. And this cop fucking yells at us. And fucking Haku just snatches him and body slams him.
A cop?
Yeah. Body slammed the motherfucker. And we just kept walking.
I mean, like, nobody is safe around this guy. Like,
oh, no. No. Well, another time, what was the guy's name? Funk.
Jimmy Jack?
Jimmy Jack Funk, yeah. He gets with fucking Haku. They fucking get into it. And Haku fucking jerks his fucking eyeball out.
Oh.
Now, his eyeball is hanging down like to here,
mm-hmm.
swinging. Jesus. And he's bent over, and he's like, "Hey, Jake, so fucking weird. I can see the ground, and I can see you standing way over there. This is really fucked up, you know?" And I'm like, "Your fucking eyeball's out, man."
And he was like, Jimmy Jack was just unfazed, like, "Oh, wow, that's interesting."
Yeah, oh, yeah. Least Haku was nice enough to put him back in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he fucking grabbed him in the headlock and just fucking shoved that shit back up in there.
What a gentleman.
Oh. I fucking ran to my room and fucking cried.
I mean, I'd be throwing up or something. Like, that is disgusting.
Yeah, man.
All right, Haku. Probably even to this day, folks, just don't fuck with him. Just leave
don't
him alone.
Don't fuck with that motherfucker, man. Hell no.
You'd lose a body part for real.
No shit.
Billy Dallas is up next. How was your relationship with One Man Gang, and what did you think about him becoming Akeem?
I love One Man Gang, man. He's a good friend.
I've heard a lot of the guys say that he's just a salt of the earth guy.
Yeah, he's about as level as you can get. Quite witty, know his wife very well. I've been friends for a long time, worked with him. We had great matches, no problems at all. But when he turned to Akeem, it blew my mind. Because he pulled it off.
Yeah, he was weirdly kind of good at it.
Yeah, he was... He made it happen, man. Akeem the Dream and fucking all the fucking body movement and shit.
The African Dream. A clear like shot at Dusty Rhodes, was it not?
Oh,
the
American
Dream, the African Dream.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it kind of worked. And him with Slick, it was just like, "Hey, okay, I buy it."
Yeah.
He's got like a boombox. My Pain Runs Deep, that is a wild name, says, other than your own, what was or is your favorite gimmick of all time?
Wow.
It's got to be Akeem, right?
No.
Undertaker?
That's probably pretty close. You know, Undertaker or what's his name in WWE?
Your generation?
No.
Bray Wyatt?
Yeah.
He's got a fascinating one.
Yeah.
Or at least did. Yeah. I mean, that shit they were doing with the creep face and the Firefly Funhouse, it was good.
Yeah. It made you think. He made you think about what the fuck is going on, man. It was interesting. You know, it's very interesting. And, that would be probably my two favorites, I guess.
They're good ones. Paul Orlando is up next. Was Jake there when Coco Beware got into a fight with Jim Troy, or what did he hear about it?
I wasn't there, man. I just heard they got into it. That's all I ever heard. You know, I know it cost Jim Troy his job, but I don't know. I wasn't there, and I had better things to do.
What were you friendly with Coco Beware or Jim Troy?
Coco a little bit.
I don't know that I've heard great things about Jim Troy over the years. Did you have any kind of relationship with the guy at all?
He was pretty, you just thought his shit didn't stink. You know, he was cocky.
Okay.
You know, and that's not something you want to play on us.
No, not with a bunch of guys that are pulling motherfuckers' eyes out and shit. No. Probably don't want to be too cocky.
No.
Richard J. Conroy up next. What's your opinion of Gary Hart? You spent a lot of time with Gary?
Yeah, he was pretty weird, man.
What made him so weird?
I don't know, brother.
Genetics.
I don't know. He was out there, man. I wasn't around him that much, and I'm grateful that I wasn't. Because I know he did some shady things to people that were around him. So,
really?
Yeah, yeah. I heard one story where he was taking part of Muda's money.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and nobody knew it. Yeah. You know?
That's pretty shady. You know, a dude who's still recognized as one of the great managers of all time. So, you know, performance-wise, good. Just maybe not as great as a dude.
Yeah.
Mikey Valentino asks, can you tell the story of almost dying in a car with Jim Duggan? I don't think I've heard this one, Jake.
Oh, that was easy. That wasn't dangerous.
Oh, okay. What happened?
We were driving down the road smoking a joint. And all of a sudden, Duggan starts speeding up. I'm like, hey, dude, you better lighten the fuck up. You know, he's doing 80. Then he's doing 90, 100, 110. I'm like, Jim, what the fuck are you doing, man? You just got busted about 6 months ago. You trying to get us pulled over again? He's like, it's not me. It's your fucking snake. I'm like, what? Yeah, I looked over there, and sure enough, the snake had gotten out of the bag. It came up underneath the seat. It had wrapped itself around the gas pedal and the brake.
Holy shit.
So when Jim tried to put the foot on the brake, the snake tried to bite him in the nuts.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So Jim slowed down to about 70 and crawled out of the seat. and left me up there with the fucking snake in the car. So we finally got pulled over and we both jump out. We're mad as fuck, man. Both jump out, grab the bag out of the back seat. Now we're trying to get the fucking snake loose and he's not wanting to come loose. And we just start jerking on him, man. And he's a mad son of a bitch, man. It took about 10 minutes of us jerking on him to get him to let loose and come out. I grabbed the fucking head, man. He's got his mouth open trying to bite me. I shoved the fucking snake in the bag, tie the bag off, throw it in the back seat. We hop in the car and drive on. We get about 10 miles down the road and woo!
Oh, no.
Cops. like, fuck, man. What the fuck? So the cop comes up. And we get out of the car because we've been smoking. And we don't want him to smell the car.
Mm-hmm.
And he told us, just hold on, boys. Hold on right there. Y'all just get out of the road. Says, I pulled you over because I got to know something. What's that? Do you have a 30-foot anaconda in your car? What? Do you have a 30-foot anaconda in your car? It's an easy question. You got an answer. I said, yes, sir. I got an answer. I said, it's not an anaconda. It's a python. But he's not 30 feet. He's only about 15. And he said, okay, that's all I was wanting to know because we got a phone call from a restaurant about 10 miles back, and they said that two great big hairy guys was fighting a 30-foot anaconda on the side of the road. And evidently, we were right in front of a fucking restaurant and didn't even know it. Can you imagine being in that restaurant eating and look up and then see two fucking guys fighting with this fucking huge-ass snake?
Two, like, huge guys. You guys are both really big, and you're out there fighting. That would be just a wild scene.
Yeah, it was, man.
Wow. All right. Well, I didn't know that story, and you delivered on
it.
Yeah. We'll get to a few more, and I'll let you go, Jake. Tim Eggers asks, did you ever see the movie The Wrestler with Mickey Rourke? And yes, what did you think?
I thought he did a phenomenal job, man. I mean, that story was my story.
Yes.
It was about me. They just didn't want to pay me. Motherfuckers.
Now, did Mickey ever reach out to you?
Yes, he did. Yeah, he thanked me.
Wow.
Yeah, I seen him in L.A., man, and he thanked me and, you know, was just really gracious about it.
I've heard that he isn't always super easy to get along with, but it sounds like you had a good relationship. Apparently, he and Jim Duggan had kind of a run-in.
Oh, did they?
I think, if I remember the story right, Jim was, like, passing him in the hallway during, like, WrestleMania or something. I think they bumped shoulders or something, and Jim said something like, hey, come on, man, like, you're, like, watch where you're going. And Mickey wanted to, like, sort of come at him, and Jim Duggan could still fuck up anybody, let alone some actor. But I guess, like, I think the security guys kind of got in between him or something, but Mickey got lucky.
God. Mickey got his ass knocked out.
Yes, he would have. Just ask that person that invaded Jim Duggan's house. He can still go.
Okay, right, he can, man.
James Fenton asks, Buddy Landell said in a shoot that he thought you were really gifted as a wrestler. Wondering if you have any stories about Buddy or working with him.
No, I don't have much on Buddy. I was around him a little bit in Louisiana, but that's about it. I never wrestled him. Never wrestled him. He worked hard, Marie.
I've heard people say over the years that he's one of those guys, like, he could stay out all night and party, come in 10 minutes before his match, walk into the ring, and just put on a great performance and leave.
Yeah, yeah.
Just one of those dudes.
I believe it.
Just made for the business. All right, Jake, one more, and I'll let you go.
All right.
Was Cheryl, this is Christopher Crawford, was Cheryl afraid of snakes? What was that like?
Yes, she was afraid of it. She used to get so mad at me because I'd come home and I'd have the snake with me and I'd just put it in the laundry room. You know, I wouldn't tell her. Then she'd be in there doing laundry and hear it.
Oh, God.
You know, and she'd just shit herself, man. Oh, she'd get fucking mad at me, man. Jake, I told you don't do that to me. Honey, I'm home. You know what I got.
My God. So when you would come home with the snake, I always just assume, like, I don't know, he probably put it in one of his bathtubs or something. You're just sticking it in the laundry room.
Put it in the laundry room, still in the bag, man.
Amazing. There's a great picture of you out there with Cheryl. You're doing a promo, and you've got your arms around her with the snake as well.
And she hated that.
So that's just you messing with her whenever out there?
Fucking right. Of course I was.
Just sadistic.
Oh, my God. You know, it's funny, man. the reason they call marijuana dope is because you think it's some pretty stupid shit to do when you're high.
Mm-hmm.
I came home one time and I had the snake out in the front yard. And then I went in the house and my German Shepherd was wanting to play. So I said, well, fuck, this will be great. I'll introduce him. So I took the dog out there and the fucking dog went nuts, man. And the dog just took off. And I'm like, fuck, you know, I'm yelling at the dog, come back, you son of a bitch. And I turn around and the fucking snake is gone now.
Oh, no.
I'm like, oh, fuck, where'd he go? You know, I'm in this fucking expensive fucking neighborhood, man. I can't wait. This fucking snake is loose. I'll be going door to door asking about a snake. Oh, my fucking God. I can't believe this shit.
Oh, Lord.
But I was lucky enough to find the snake. And I found the snake and put the snake away. And then I had to get in the car and go look for the dog.
So the dog didn't just run away. It like left
he
the property.
He hauled ass, man. He didn't want none of that shit.
Where'd you find the snake?
He had gotten over to a hedge.
All right.
He got up underneath it.
Boy, I'll tell you, it would be probably freaking out your fucking neighbors.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure there were a few people that seen me out there struggling with it because I was trying to get it out of that hedge, you know. He had wrapped himself around shit. And I'm jerking on it, you know. I'm trying to fucking get his head loose so I can jerk on it some more.
My God.
You know, it's not something you want to see when you know, you look out your window, there's your neighbors fighting a 20-foot fucking python in your front yard, you know.
Between that and that scene at the restaurant, man, you put on
shows. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, guys, another fun episode of Ask Jake Anything is in the books. Next week, Jake is on the road. He's still making the towns, busy as ever, doing a lot of appearances and whatnot. So with that being the case, we are still committed to bringing you guys fresh content every single week. So next week, we're going to deliver again. We have got a very special guest host, WWE Hall of Famer Medusa is joining us on the podcast, and we're going to be looking back 27 years to Hog Wild 1996 and her match with one of her greatest rivals, Bull Nakano. So, going to look forward to talking to Medusa. It's going to be a really fun episode, so stay tuned for that one next week. If you guys are looking to attract that 25 to 54-year-old male demographic to your product or service, why haven't you gone to advertise with snake.com yet? Jake is a legitimate household name. He's still over like Rover, and you can get him to put over your stuff to the exact audience that you're targeting. If you need evidence that it works, just listen to our show. We routinely advertise for the same businesses because they know that what we do works. Head to advertisewithsnake.com. Become a tag team partner with Jake the Snake Roberts. JakeTheSnakeShop.com is your destination for rare signed collectibles straight from Jake himself. Autograph figures, shirts, 8x10s, and much more. If you're a collector, this website is like heaven. Go right now to JakeTheSnakeShop.com and add a new centerpiece to your pro wrestling collection. Guys, you've got to check out BoxOfGimmicks.com and our Snake Pit page over there. Check out this pair of shorts that we've got. We showed you the shorts with the ice cream Jake on them. Now you've got WrestleFest Jake. And, dude, it's just such cool style. It's hot out there, man. It's summer. Why not greet summer in style with an awesome pair of shorts? We've got that, tank tops, beach towels, and much more. Again, it's boxofgimmicks.com. Check out the Snake Pit page. Get over to cameo.com/JakeSnake for a personal message from the Hall of Famer himself. Here's a review from Jack. Jake, you really blew our minds in a good way. Thanks so much for taking the time and making this so candid and so personal. Guys, if you're a lifelong fan like Jack, or if you just want to get a fun message from a legendary performer, you've got to get a cameo from Jake. Again, it's cameo.com/JakeSnake. Order yours today. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/@SnakePitPod for short clips from our show, highlights, and some exclusive content. We also recently did a giveaway for our subscribers there, and we'll continue to do those occasionally, so don't miss out. Like, subscribe, hit the notifications bell there right now. Also, if you've enjoyed our podcast, please like, subscribe, leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you're listening to it on, because, man, that kind of thing helps us out a ton. Also, just a reminder, you can get the Snake Pit and all of our other shows on our network early and ad-free at adfreeshows.com, starting at just $9 a month. We're talking about early access to the greatest wrestling podcasts out there, and it's less than 15 cents an episode each month. Plus, there's bonus content. So if you love this show, you can get more of this show and stuff that you can't hear anywhere else only at adfreeshows.com. There's chats with your favorite wrestling hosts and wrestling personalities. We bring in guests all the time. There's awesome exclusive shows only on adfreeshows.com, such as the Mailbag series with Nick Patrick. How about Tuesday with the Taskmaster with the great Kevin Sullivan? Guys, if you're a wrestling fan and you are not a member there, I'm telling you, you are missing out. Head to adfreeshows.com today. Get signed up. Catch Jake on Twitter at JakeSnakeDDT, on Instagram at JakeTheSnakeDDT, and on Facebook at RealJakeTheSnake. Follow me at MarcusPDAngelo on Twitter, and follow the podcast at SnakePitPod on all social media platforms. Another awesome edition of Ask Jake Anything, and we're going to be back next week talking all things 1992 and Jake's debut in WCW. Can't wait to talk about it, and we'll catch you guys next week right here on The Snake Pit.